Good morning, friends. It's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm your host, Jim Wilkins. We're fortunate to have with us in the studio today Cindy Mudge, the director of the Astoria Sunday Market. Cindy, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for asking me.
I'd like to start out with a little kind of a biography of your, you know, where'd you grow up, where'd you go to school, and all of that.
Oh, sure. I actually grew up in the Seattle area. In fact, graduated from Garfield High School, inner city school there. Then I worked there in theater for many years in my early career, and then later owned a business, actually managing events and doing public relations, and eventually moved to California for a very brief stint. I was part of that big dot-com Deadpool where lots of people got laid off and was happy to migrate back to the Northwest. And began my journey here in Astoria doing the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial. So I moved here in 2003. Hard to believe that many years have already passed.
Yeah.
For I was supposed to just be here for 3 years, so.
Well, you're kind of full-time now.
Now I'm full-time and happy to be so.
Now, how did you end up getting the job running the Sunday market?
I was initially approached by the former director, Joyce Compare, who basically built the market up from just a handful of vendors to pretty much what you see today. It was already pretty much expanded, and they were getting ready to retire and move, and actually wanted me to work for them for a summer. And then, of course, I met the board, and they interviewed me, and I got the job. What I didn't know was that John and Joyce sold their house a lot sooner than they anticipated. So my first day was their last day. So it was a mad scramble learning the market and the personalities and all the tasks that go into it. But it's been a fun journey.
How many booths do we have at the Sunday market?
On average, on any given Sunday, we'll have between 135 and 145. On a full day, it fills about 200 spaces.
Now, if I wanted to have a booth at the Sunday market, for example, to sell bananas, what procedure would I go through to arrange for that?
Well, it is unlikely you could sell bananas because you have to make or grow your own product, and I suppose you could grow bananas in a hothouse here. Basically, that's the number one thing. You have to make or grow your own product. And then we have a pretty simple application process. You fill out a form. Our fees are, there's an annual registration fee that everyone pays. It's $45 for new vendors, and it drops to $35 your second year. And then the weekly rate is 10% gross, or $25, whichever sum is greater, and that's for a 10 by 10 space.
And that I assume is done on the honor system?
It is. I mean, I have a really good sense of what people are making, and if anything, people tend to be overly honest. I tend to have more of a problem crediting people for overpaying booths than the other way around. But most people are really pretty good, and they understand that their fees really help make the market what it is.
And the fees also help to provide for your salary?
Correct. Obviously, my salary, but also the expenses that go into running the market. We have the Coast Rehabilitation Services. They provide weekly setup and trash removal and a whole host of other things. It's actually a really big setup, especially with our food court and putting out all the barricades. There's a lot that goes into the morning routine. Then we have live music, and that can run anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000 a year alone. So, and we want to pay our musicians. We want to support artists of all kinds, and the best way to do that is to actually respect them by paying them. And I wish we could actually pay them better than we do, but we've been very fortunate getting the good quality musicians we have. There's all sorts of dumpster fees and things like that that go into keeping this market up. And then we spend more probably on marketing than just about any other market. And the reason for that is our big heart of our mission is revitalizing downtown. And so by promoting the market, we are promoting people coming downtown and to shop. And that's one of the big things that we like seeing happening, is that the whole downtown sees activity, not just for the one day, but for the whole weekend, and hopefully brings even locals downtown to see more than just the market, but to see all the other great shops that are down there.
How much do you pay your musicians?
It varies. It depends on whether they're a soloist or a full-fledged group. So it goes from anywhere from $150 to $400.
So if you had a solo guitar player, you would pay him $150?
Possibly. We don't have that many soloists because it's a really challenging gig. Music has to be upbeat and lively because it's a food court, and people respond. If it's upbeat and lively, they're moving, they're buying food, they're having a good time. When we've had slower paced music there, it does slow everybody down, and for some reason they don't move as much and buy as much. I'm not sure why that is, but it's a hard gig for a soloist, so we only have a few people who can really maintain the energy level we need at the market.
I understand the more contemplative solo players don't provide the atmosphere that you're looking for.
Not in the food court, but we have actually a lot of musicians who come and are buskers and street corner, and we actually really encourage that. Coming from Seattle, I grew up really enjoying all the buskers at the Pike Place Market that's down there, and so I was really happy to kind of open the doors to that. And we get, you know, you get the good, the bad, and the ugly with buskers, and that's part of the entertainment. But I love it. We get sometimes young kids down there performing. You get people just passing through town. You get locals who just really are trying to get their music heard. And it's actually a great thing for us. And then we get Unilad has been down. Usually he comes down once a year. He's the guy who wears the Darth Vader helmet, riding a unicycle, playing the bagpipes.
Somehow I've missed him.
Oh, he comes on a surprise about once a year, the last 2 or 3 years. We've had guys all dressed in silver, kind of statues. They were here earlier this summer. We once had a guy show up with an upright piano built on a bicycle. He had a singing companion with him, and they rode this large upright piano through the street, stopping occasionally and singing. So that's the kind of stuff you get sometimes with outdoor events like this that are just surprising, remarkable, and a lot of fun.
You know, you mentioned that you like to expand the energy of the market to the rest of downtown. How do you go about doing that to promote other businesses besides the Sunday market?
Well, one thing is, when we started, which was in 2000, their 12th Street was actually picked because there really wasn't any shops open. Liberty was just undergoing renovation. Hotel Elliott was just undergoing renovation. And so the board basically ended up choosing that block to be kind of a speed bump so that people didn't just rush through town to go home. It kind of forced them to stop and park and get out and see what was going on. And I know when I moved here in 2003, there weren't very many shops open at all on Sunday. And for a shopper, that's frustrating because I made that my one day to go downtown and be shopping. Now you see a lot more restaurants. You see a lot more merchants open. And some of them do pretty well on Sundays. And what I'm really happy to see now is that some of our merchants who do make their own products are starting to participate in the market. Baked Alaska, for example, has been doing their own salt blends in their kitchen for quite a while. They have, it's called Chef Daddy Salt. And this year, for the first time, they decided to just get a booth and market just their salts. And it's been a great experience for them. And, of course, we love having them there. The Grumpy Dog Shrub, which is also North Coast Distillery, I believe I have that right, they just started last week with their tasting vinegars and their tonics, and they're going to start selling their gin and vodka by the bottle at the market starting this Sunday. And they've been a wonderful addition. La Luna Loca is a merchant that's right at the corner of 12th and Duane, and she's done a great job of taking advantage. A lot of her stuff does come from handcrafted people, mostly artists out of Portland. And she now does like a little sidewalk sale every Sunday, and that really adds to the vibrancy. I mean, I just love it. Jonathan's LTD has, he developed a product just so he could have a booth on the street as an entrance to his shop. So I personally really love it when the merchants really get involved and take advantage of the fact that we're there and bringing people into town.
Do you have any other... I'm trying to think of the one. There's a Saturday market as well, isn't there?
There's one in Ilwaco, and we actually have a pretty good partnership with them. They have a very different market, much smaller, and they attract more of the crowd from Olympia, Tacoma, whereas our market tends to attract people out of Vancouver and Portland and people coming up the coast. A lot of our vendors actually also do the Saturday Ilwaco market.
Well, isn't there a Saturday market here?
No, there is the River People's Market on Thursday. And they're essentially, I believe, just a produce market only. And they develop that as an option for people who can't get to the Sunday market but still want the farm fresh produce. They can go to the Thursday market.
I guess I was wrong, I thought there was a Saturday market of some sort as well.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Now, what do you do in the wintertime when the weather's kind of lousy?
Well, we do only go through October 12th, Mother's Day through the second week, second Sunday of October. We have a winter festival. We started a winter market several years ago, and that was an indoor market, and we used whatever available empty space was downtown. This year, with the armory now being available, we're transforming it into an actual festival, a three-day festival in the armory, December 19, 20, and 21. So it's the last weekend before Christmas, and we want it to be a really good, strong community celebration. So we'll have booths there. And in fact, we're seeking some volunteers to help us. We'd love to have a caroling contest, a holiday cookie bake-off contest. We'd love to add some activities, get some of the nonprofits involved, and give them a chance to get that exposure, as well as give people that last chance shopping before Christmas and the other holidays.
Well, let me ask you this, Cindy. If somebody did want to volunteer, how would they get a hold of you, or how would they go about volunteering?
Sure. Just you can give me a call at 503-325-1010, good simple number, or AstoriaSundayMarket@gmail.com. And love to hear any new ideas. The caroling and the cookie bake-off is one. We want a kids' hands-on workshop, but we're actually open to any fun, creative ideas people have, and would love to really see this become an annual community event.
Is Santa Claus going to be there?
Oh, yeah. It will be your last opportunity to tell Santa what you want.
Well, it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm happy to be visiting with Cindy Mudge from the Sunday Market. Appreciate it, Cindy. But I need to remind our listeners, Terry, that it's Pledge Drive, and we have a goal for this show that they've kind of mandated from upper management that we should take in $200 during this half hour.
We'd better do it, or you and I'll get fired.
I don't see the phone ringing.
Yeah, come on, people. 503-325-0010, 1-800-518-0010, or live streaming on the web at coastradio.org. Just go on our website, push the pledge button. Jim, we've got some giveaways here. I'm going to start with the smallest one from the Rusty Cup right down the street here, about a block away, for a pledge level of $25. They will give you a gift valued at $5. Now, I did some mental calculation with my abacus. That's 6 cents a day stretched over the year. So you can get yourself a cup of coffee, basically, for 6 cents a day. Howard's Lawn Care and Equipment, for a pledge level of $75, they will give you a gift of $25. And last but not least, Commander Cody is coming to the Liberty Theater. And
Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen.
Is that the whole name?
Yeah.
I heard it announced on our other station, KCPB, a while ago. And who is Commander Cody? Yeah. I don't know. What do they do?
Well, they do kind of rock music. They were around 20, 30 years ago. Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen,
wow,
which is the name of his band. Now, I don't know what he's doing nowadays, but I hope he's bringing his Lost Planet Airmen with him.
Well, for a pledge level of $100, there's a gift of $50 to $60. That's two tickets to the show at the Liberty Theater. And it's September 19th at 7:30 p.m. at the Liberty. So call up and get one of these gifts. 503-325-0010, 1-800-518-0010. And I've got a question for Miss Cindy.
Yes.
There's been some controversy about Bow Wow's dogs. Mm. Talk about that.
Sure, we can do that. And actually, thank you, because that's a good intro to our Dog Day afternoon this Sunday. You get a parade of dogs at our market, and they're come dressed in their Sunday best. They come in strollers. They come in backpacks. They come hung around people's necks. They come on leashes. And people bring their dogs. Partly, a lot of them are tourists who aren't going to leave them in the car. But I think also a lot of locals bring their dogs down. There is a controversy. There are those people who just feel dogs shouldn't be at a public market. But since we are on the streets and we can't really police, are you just crossing the street or are you bringing your dog into the market? We really don't want to get into those kind of discussions with our shoppers and our patrons. So dogs are allowed in our market on good behavior, as the owners are also expected to be on good behavior. So once a year, we started this last year. Actually, we started the Dog Day Afternoon event, and part of it is a fundraiser for Clatsop Animal Assistance, who brings a couple of their pets every other week to the market. And they have, I believe, 100% adoption rate is what I've been told out of the ones they bring down to the market. So that's really good. Part of the activities is education. We do want people who bring their dogs and pets down to make sure the dogs and pets are safe and the people are safe. Not all dogs, and I know I have four, and really my dogs, I have them in my RV, but a lot of them can't come through the market because they're just not suitable for market behavior. So not all dogs are. And so we want to give people a chance to kind of see what well-behaved dogs can do in public places and how to maybe train them. So we have Arnacadia Farms Dog Training will be there, teaching some dog training games and a few things. We'll have 4-H Classy Canines with an agility course. That was the most fun, and Sally Freeman, who runs that, she took dogs who have never done any agility, including a mother-daughter pair from the pound last year, and got them running through that agility course in no time flat. The dogs just loved it, and it's a great introduction to agility. So I really recommend bringing, no matter how small or big your dog is, it's a fun course to run through. And then we have the fashion show, the catwalk for the dogs. Because everyone brings their animals so well-dressed, and there are some fabulous prizes for the first, second, and third place winners. And that was a really fun event last year as well. We had a good time with it, so we're looking forward to seeing everybody show up this Sunday from 10 to 3 for those activities in addition to the regular market.
And so people would put costumes on their dogs?
Some of them do, fun costumes, simple things, and then we've had people elaborate costumes. Some come to the market actually with their pets dressed up every Sunday. So it's been interesting watching all the animals. And we actually had a cat on the catwalk last year as well. Very well-behaved cat. I've never seen a cat like it who can go on a leash and was calm as can be amid all the chaos. So you just never know what you're going to see.
Yeah, there might have been some kitty drugs involved in that one.
No, you know what? She was a vendor, and she just has this most amazing cat who's just a calm, relaxed, zen-like soul.
Well, you've got another program I'd like you to talk about, and that's the Young Entrepreneurs, the Market Biz Kids program.
Yes. I love this program. I started it the second year. I started with the market. It's something I used to do the Pike Place Market Street Festival years ago, and one of my dreams then was to sort of get a similar program involved where kids could actually become vendors at the market, and I moved away before really being able to pursue that. So when I got this job, kind of one of the first fleeting things in my head was, yay, I'm finally in a position again to maybe pursue this. So I started meeting with people at Clatsop Community College and the good people at the 4-H, and together we developed a program, and now 4-H is our regular partner. We couldn't do this program without them. We work really well together. Part of the program, we do free workshops for kids, starting with an open house in January, and they learn the basics of marketing and selling and how to count money and how to make their product and ideas, how to sell, how to present yourself, how to decorate your booth space. And we really put them through a really good program. They don't have to go through the workshops. It's just an opportunity for them. And then right after school ends, so mid-June, starting Father's Day, we provide tents and tables and chairs. They set it up and tear it down, but we provide the equipment thanks to our sponsors. And they get to vend. They also pay a fee. They pay 10% or $2.50. And I'm happy to report most of the kids pay well over the minimum. So that means they're happy and they're doing well.
Well, do they have an actual booth there?
We have what we call the Market Biz Kids booth. And so several of them operate out of the same booth. And we'll have as many as three booths, depending on the number of the kids who participate on Sunday. And so Recology, Western Oregon, they've been a longtime supporter, in fact, from our first year. And the Clatsop Community Bank this year has also been a supporter. So we really appreciate everything they do to make sure we can continue doing this program.
Maybe you could talk about some of the other vendors that are doing kind of a unique job down there for you.
Yeah, one thing I'm so proud about is that we have such a huge variety of vendors. We have a core group that is there pretty much every single Sunday. And then we have what we call part-time people. And then we have people floating in and out. And actually, that combination means that every Sunday, you're going to see something new when you're down there. And that's been actually a really positive piece. And a lot of customers give us good feedback about the fact that I come every Sunday and it's so nice to see something new. And so that's been excellent. Some of the core vendors that have been down there that are recognizable are people like Ronnie, who's at the corner of 12th and Commercial with her picket fences and her quilted paintings and her dog. She's been really steady there year after year and helps dress up that corner. On the same corner, we have Jeff Trenery of Kingfisher Farms. And he's always got the distinguishing umbrella. And he's just got, I took a picture of some of his vegetables last week just because they were so beautiful. They looked like they should be hung on the wall instead of eaten. I mean, his stuff is just amazing and gorgeous. We have Packers Orchards that come all the way from Hood River. They get up really early in the morning to set up their booth space, and they have a big space. They actually, because it's a long drive, tried to cancel coming one year and got so much feedback, so many people complaining that they called me up like the second or third weekend and said, we have to come back, we're getting too many complaints. And so we really appreciate the work they put into coming down there every week, because we know their crew does have to get up really early to make sure they have their fruit and cookies and snacks for us all. So those are just a handful of our regulars. And another one is fairly new in the last couple of years, if you haven't seen him, is the Cigar Box Guitar Maker. He just has these amazing guitars that he makes out of cigar boxes, and they can, some of them can be amplified, and he's just a pleasure having down there.
Does he play them as well?
He plays them as well, and always gathers a small crowd around him, so that's fun. I'm trying to think, and I've already mentioned a couple of the newest people, but we pretty much have everything from people who create framed art pieces using succulent plants to jewelry to t-shirts to you name it. We've got some great vendors down there with some really unique products.
And food.
And food. Oh my gosh. It gets better and better every week. We got the hummus stop now. We got a whole snacking row now on 12th Street where you can snack and drink your way down the block.
So it's you can drink alcohol there?
Well, they taste it. You can't actually openly drink alcohol at the market, no. But they do sampling because we have Rogue is down there. And not just with their, they usually have two different beer samples. But they also have sodas and things like that that they are marketing. So they have that there. Nehalem Bay Winery has been a longtime vendor. And we occasionally get kind of guest wineries in. And then now, of course, we're going to have the distillery in. So we're really excited to have them there.
So they can put out basically a taste?
Yeah, it's very tightly controlled. You have to, it's the OLCC monitors how much is a taste. And so they, it is just a taste, so you can sample their wares. You can buy bottled goods there. You can't buy a cup of something and drink it or open a bottle and drink it.
How much is a taste?
The taste, the samplers are free.
But I mean, how much volume?
Oh, boy, I don't have it. I actually don't have it memorized, but it's like just literally a small cupful. You are getting a taste. Let me just put it that way. You are just getting a taste. You're not gonna get tipsy on all the sampling at the market.
Oh, heck.
I know. But we have so many great restaurants around there you can just pop into and get refreshed.
I'm wondering what ideas you might have for in the future. You got any programs you're thinking about instituting down there?
Not currently. What I really want to do is concentrate on getting the winter festival up and running and getting that successful. But we're always open to hearing ideas from people. I would like to continue or I would like to put on some educational courses for our vendors because a lot of them are independent people and we like to kind of help them improve their skills so that they can be better at their jobs. And we've had a pretty good record of people turning their 10-by-10 tent into a bricks and mortar shop. And so we like encouraging that. We love seeing entrepreneurs build their business up from scratch and turn it into their full-time business.
Why don't you give me a couple of examples of businesses that have started out at the market and then it ended up, as you say, brick and mortar.
Sure. Actually, one of the most recent ones that people will recognize is the Hamani restaurant, Indian restaurant. They started out at the market, I think partly to see if there was going to be a market for their kind of food, because there really isn't Indian food that I'm aware of on the North Coast besides their restaurant. And they were very successful with that and so opened their restaurant right there on Marine. They continue vending because it continues being a good way to market their restaurant and market their food, and they do well there. So we're actually very proud and happy of what they've done. Years ago, people might remember the Marble Man, and he started at the market and opened a shop. Tara Tones, she had a shop in Seaside, but when she started in Astoria, she started at the Sunday market, and as many people know, has a shop and has had a shop for years downtown, and she's back at the market having taken a little break, so we're thrilled to have her back there.
Well, we've just got about a minute left, Cindy. Been visiting today with Cindy Mudge from the Astoria Sunday Market. Appreciate you being here.